You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. All right, welcome back to Financially Included. And as I promised before the commercial break, we will be joined by our very good friend, cybersecurity expert. Well, officially his title is client support specialist, but today he's gonna act as a cybersecurity specialist, and that's none other than Theo Hidulika from FNB. Theo, how are you doing this evening?
I'm well, HD. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now today great we'll to be joined. Thanks for coming. It's been a while since we've had you in the studio. Now we'll be joined by our colleague Dwight. I'm not sure if the two of you have met before.
Theo, how are you doing?
I'm well, so how are you?
I'm okay.
He told me to breathe when I came here. I was exercising a bit, you know?
Yeah.
A shower.
So, let's get right into it. Theo, for the listeners that aren't familiar with you yet, you know, give us a brief intro about yourself and your role at FNB Namibia.
All right, HD. It's always a pleasure to come back to our listeners. Like HD said, my name is Theo Hidulika. I currently serve at FNB as a client support specialist.
Okay.
We usually specialize in fraud detection, fraud education, and fraud prevention at FNB Namibia. So good stuff. And Namibia has been on the map this year. I spoke to our Minister of ITC at the One Foundation Gala dinner, and she said that a lot of events have happened in our country, from the passing of our late president, our former president, our first woman president. So Namibia has been getting a lot of attention, but also the bad or the wrong attention when it comes to scamming. So we're here to discuss that.
Yeah, no, it's been a hot topic in pretty much on every show. Somehow someone is talking about scamming and cybercrime. But it's not just, you know, a problem unique to Namibia. This is a global problem as well. So, let's get right into it. And, you know, today we're here to talk about how cybersecurity is the relationship it has with financial inclusion. So before we get to that, Theo, I want to ask you, when you hear the term financial inclusion, what does that mean to you?
So financial inclusion basically means equality when it comes to finance.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes from... It doesn't matter a person's race, background, intelligence. It doesn't matter the education level. It doesn't matter the skill, the job you're having. You are allowed to have fair, affordable, safe financial inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So this includes banking. This includes product in all the financial sector. So financial inclusion is we are including everybody in our country.
Yeah.
From our president to our cleaners at the hospital, to our security guards, to our policemen, fairness and everything. But financial inclusion also comes with a lot of risk.
Yeah.
So we're also to talk about it. But overall, financial inclusion is for all of us as a country. Yeah.
100%. So you've previously spoken to us, you know, several times about how cybersecurity in relation to clients keeping their, you know, their hard-earned money safe. But today I want to ask you, what's the relationship between cybersecurity and financial inclusion? But before you answer that, we actually have a caller on the line already.
Okay.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, thank God you came to rescue us.
Yes, sir. What would you like to say today?
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Is Helmut and Dwight still there?
I'm still here, Uncle
Bona. We still have Dwight.
Why is it that we were only waiting for the sportsmen to come in before you could allow us to come in?
Yeah, these two guys, they don't like answering the phone for some reason.
You see, it doesn't matter whether they like it or not, but the matter of the fact remains that, yes, I understand when they were talking about, yes, issues for South Africa.
Today, in this hour, we're talking about cybersecurity and financial inclusion.
Yes, cybersecurity. Thank God you are coming in, because we have got a problem with that cybersecurity. Maybe let me just take my notebook.
Your notebook.
Because it's one of the issues that we are looking at, whether the vulnerable people who are being possessed with their property issue that Helmut and Dwight were talking about. And they were talking about South Africa. Helmut was more on registration. The registration of repossessing property from the vulnerables who are also vulnerable to cyber security and digital issues.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have something like, yes, the repossession of the house, the properties and things like that. And I thank God because I just reflected on the Professor Job Mpanda when he was talking about issues. And I think he is Dimbrukweni. You remember where they went to informal set, one of the informal settlements in Katutura, where they were saying, you guys, at least if you are repossessing these things or removing these things, at least provide an alternative for those children mm-hmm. and the vulnerable people
yeah.
whom you are trying now to save. They are protected from cyber attack.
Yeah.
And I heard, I was looking at my desk analysis and reports. Even the, who is this billionaire? Starlink or whatever.
Yeah.
They also attacked. What more of our own vulnerable people here? Me and you. Maybe you are secured.
Yeah.
So, Helmut. When you look at the registration of repossessing the houses and properties, because the properties that are being repossessed is only for the vulnerable people like me and you, you are saying that, yes, those who are maybe working in the government or whatever, even yourself, you are also giving that provision. Anybody, if you walk into GIPF or whatever, you are also catered for. So this common law or whatever restriction that you are talking about, does it mean that you go and repossess people's property? And Dwight was talking about, yes, collective communism and socialism and all this kind of thing. I understand that. And this is my dilemma. You put us in that position after you have strategically positioned yourself and took all the minerals and centers of production. I haven't seen this. Just wait. I'm not going to attack you.
No. We have to stay on topic today.
The topic today?
Yes.
You say cyber security.
Yes.
So you think that people who are robbed and all this repossessed and things like that, some of them, they are even fake. That yes, you are going to possess the house, you are going to do, even whether it's through religious or whatever means.
Yes.
What type of cyber security are you talking about?
Okay, we'll
Namibia
ask.
Namibia doesn't even.
No, listen. We'll ask our specialist a few questions, and then you'll hear the information that he has for you.
I'm asking about specialists. We are also reading in the newspaper that Namibia is now getting their digital device, all these things.
Yes.
I have got a lot of information here.
Yes,
the specialist will not do anything. We are able to protect the vulnerable from this setback attacks.
Yes, that's why he's here today to tell you how he's going to protect us.
So, Helmut, thank you very much. Please listen to the registration there.
Thank you.
Good.
Yes, if you'd like to join the conversation, the number in the studio is 0832888401. 0832888401. Okay, and Theo, before the caller came in there, I asked you a question about the relationship between cybersecurity and financial inclusion. Please take the floor, sir.
HD, so financial inclusion goes hand in hand with cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if our people do not feel safe when transacting, when moving funds online,
yeah,
making sure that their funds are secure, then financial inclusion has failed at that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So financial inclusion and cybersecurity play hand in hand, that it must be a mandate. especially for the financial sector, to educate our clients as well as to give them pre-measures what to do when they get attacked.
Yeah.
As I previously mentioned, the Namibia has been put on the map and we are getting BIN attacks every month from these guys. So those two goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
If we want our people to be secured for their funds to grow, investment and so forth, we must also offer an environment where everything is protected.
Yeah.
There's a clean, smooth transaction without failure, as well as peace of mind.
Yeah.
I believe that as a country or as an institution, financial sector, if I know that my funds are secured, I can sleep well at night.
Yeah.
I think we all would sleep well at night. So yes, it goes hand in hand, and it's very important that we as institution, as a country,
mm-hmm.
we must step up more on that. We must educate our people at the rural areas, in school. We mm-hmm. should start already. I was speaking to the Minister of Information once more,
yeah.
and she said that there's a lot going on in the background, and government is also doing a good job with they're starting small, but we need to, especially AI.
Yeah.
You know, what we are seeing now these days is that the deep fake on social media,
yeah.
the social engineering.
Yeah.
NBC reported, is it today or yesterday?
That it was today. It was today.
Their presenters are being used. So these are the things that we need to make them read. They must be there so that our people can know what this is. Because this is cybersecurity. This is mm-hmm. where it comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. And many people, just to add on to what you said, Theo, many people think cybersecurity just stops at getting access to your bank account. But cybersecurity in many cases is related to a scenario also of identity,
mm-hmm.
what you do, personal details, information mm-hmm. that you share.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why we are told, don't save your passwords
yes.
to your websites or to your accounts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always remember it from your mind or write it
in your journal
or something, yeah. something where you can, which is not a digital format, not mm-hmm. even your
mm-hmm.
phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's usually basic steps. I remember back in when, I don't know if you remember when Windows 7 came out,
yeah.
2010, 2011-ish. Oh, there. sorry about that, but there was a guy that I met in South Africa who said, who still uses passwords? Because at that stage, the big conversation was, do you need a password? Yes or no?
Mm.
Shouldn't the system be secure enough so that you, the user, don't need a password? But that has been a debate since 2010,
yeah.
even up to 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in many cases, yeah, the cybersecurity scenario is always one of how does the human fit in and how does the system sort of like be complemented?
Yes.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. yeah.
And it's true. And most of our people, your digital footprint has mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah.
yeah.
Especially on social media. We put so much on social media, so much personal information. It's a dangerous world out there, unfortunately. And these guys are taking advantage of that.
Yeah. You don't even realize how often, like, you're giving people your location, things like that, you know, always taking a selfie wherever you are. Someone out there is, you know, monitoring that and using it for not good activities. So, you know, fintech is a huge and crucial industry when it comes to financial inclusion and the development of the economy overall. How important is it for institutions that provide these fintech services to have high levels of cybersecurity?
So, fintech it's a very critical bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The brief released an article today that FNB is ahead of the curve. we jumped from 96
yeah.
to 86 to 90 to 89% of our customers on digital platforms. So
yeah.
fintech is critical. It's the bridge that connects our people
mm-hmm.
to the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
But the key here is it's safe. So it's also a very critical point in our whole system of banking or system of financial institutions.
Yeah.
So fintech is one of those things that we need. It's critical. The world is developing and we need to stay above the curve.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important with that is that once we introduce these robust systems, we must also introduce robust security measures
yeah.
to guide those systems.
Yeah.
Because if our people are exposed to these systems and the systems are not secured or they are not protected,
mm-hmm.
we will just open up the Pandora's box. So fintech is very critical, but cybersecurity should be 10 times more critical, and it must come mm-hmm. at a base that when we are introducing something, it's secured.
Yeah.
It's onion layer protection, meaning yeah, that yeah. there's layer on layer on layer. So it's a critical bridge, and I think most financial sectors, even countries, we're trying our level best to keep up
with mm-hmm.
the world because the world is going, and AI AI is the best tool that we have ever received, but it can also be a malicious tool.
Yeah.
And we have seen it, what it can do.
Yeah, you know, and when as I was listening to you speak now, for me, I can't even imagine a world, honestly, where I'm using financial services that don't involve the tech part. Like fintech to me is just fin, essentially. Yeah. I don't see a separation between fin and fintech, so to say.
Yeah.
But now I'm also thinking these companies that provide and institutions that provide fintech services, are they even allowed to come to a place where they offer these services without proving that their systems are secure?
No. So most of even the country at large.
Yeah.
I think we have read through this year, some of our government institutions were hacked, breached. So especially when it comes to finance is a very hot topic because it's just not only about our consumer, it's worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
If your banking system is not secure, your financial section is not secure, you will not get foreign investment,
yeah,
and your country's economy will not grow. So fintech in terms of Namibia, before you can even introduce a system that the consumer is going to use,
yeah,
you must make sure that it's tested, it's validated, it has the right accreditation, mm-hmm, it's world-renowned, and there's robust countermeasures and backup before that. So if we just introduce a system which everybody can have, the people take a look at it and they'll find the weaknesses and vulnerabilities, mm-hmm, and you have a disaster on your hand. So this is where now social engineering comes in.
Yeah.
Because most of the fintech, if not all the fintech systems that we have locally,
yeah,
are scam-proof.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys need the end user, which is the client,
mm-hmm,
with social engineering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To bait you to give us access.
Yeah.
So, or they first go there. Yeah, first go there. Yeah. So they won't hack FNB.
FNB, yeah. Standard Bank.
Okay, unless you're Hunters International. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a call on the line real quick.
Yeah.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Well, okay. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, no problem.
I just wanted to be quick and brief.
Yes.
I want to ask the gentleman on the way, on the podium,
yeah,
about the attacks that are being thrown on our elders, nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And what have FMB, media did in mitigating such attacks? Why don't they probably create what they can call 20-way verification? So that it can definitely mitigate such attacks or protect the victim.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Theo, would you like to take that one?
All right. I will touch on that one. Thank you so much, sir, for the question.
To start off, yes, we do have 2FA verifications on our mobile apps.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we have. And on our cards, especially online transaction, we do have 3D secure, meaning that before any transaction goes off,
yeah,
on a secure website, it will prompt you to approve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a very tricky question when he said, our caller said, they are taking our elderly.
Yeah.
So this also comes into play that we need to educate our clients in every part of our country, in every religion,
mm-hmm,
or language, I mean. Because what happened is that when the elderly get called, and this is where the social engineering comes in, they will call our people, and they will have a story made up. They will even use our high-ranking officials in the country pictures to run these scams.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to mitigate such, we always tell, especially when our elders come and open accounts,
mm-hmm,
we don't offer you online banking. We can offer you cell phone banking. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We can lower your limits on this. If you have large funds, let's rather put it in an investment account, secure account.
Mm-hmm.
Please change your password regularly. So we do, there are work in the background that's being done. But the most important one, I would say, is the educational part, which unfortunately all of us as a country need to play a role. Because what I always say is that we can put up as many barriers as we can in your house to protect your household. But if you unfortunately provide the key unknowingly,
or you leave the door open,
the door open,
yeah,
they will come in, and no matter the wall that is up there. But rest assured that the institution, even the country at large, there are works being done in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Systems are being evaluated. The country, there was even a cybersecurity conference now that Standard Bank held. So this is something that the country at large is taking part in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things in the background that's being played. One of the things that FNB is doing, as I mentioned, is that we have a scam campaign countrywide. For the past year, if you have been on our roadshows, mm-hmm. our guys has been at the malls in the north.
Mm-hmm.
HD, I've been coming to
in the mornings.
To talk. So the biggest way we can beat this is by information distribution and education.
100%.
Because once we can educate you that when you receive that message, delete it and report it, they will not get into your account. So yes. It is a big fight, but it's a fight that we are all going to be part of. We are part of. And I would just say, let's stay vigilant, especially on social media. I would also advise our elderly, especially our colleagues, please warn your parents as well on social media, especially on Facebook.
Yeah. Honestly speaking, some of those, like the one you referenced earlier, the NBC one,
yes.
I don't understand how people even believe that one. In the corner of the video, there's a watermark of the app that was used. They didn't even think to cut that out and people still believed it.
So actually, maybe we that are exposed to the information, we will definitely reason.
Or even the platforms, yeah.
The platform, we will pick it up.
Yeah.
But my grandmother who's in the north,
She doesn't have the training.
That's true.
So education is our biggest key, and I think we are getting there,
and we are
seeing results and good positive results. So yes, there are things that are being done.
Yeah.
But I would also encourage ourselves to educate our families, our grandmothers, and so forth to protect themselves, and always to, if they receive calls, rather hang up. And then report it to the people, yeah.
Yeah. We have another call on the line.
Yeah.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Sorry, once again, I appreciate their efforts. But the financial sector also need to shape up.
Okay.
Let me tell you one story. If you go into the financial sector, and there are many of our vulnerable stages in our community, especially in the urban area, who are forced into deception of contractual agreement, they entered. When they entered into those agreements, you know, they look so genuine and all this, you know, enticing. They got in there because of their vulnerability. So once they get in there, and you know that all those people who are working, whether it's an informal sector of economy or the formal, they are all banging with your bank. If they put their money under the mattress, they'll be labeled like Ramaphosa. President Ramaphosa.
Ango Bwana.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yes, you are.
So now, when they now get into that contractual agreement and they discover that, no, this one is a scam or whatever you call it. And you go to the bank, they will tell you, no, we cannot get into the third party when we enter into the agreement. But you will never enter into the agreement. You never enter into the agreement, then the bank, whether it's Net Bank, First National Bank, whatever those commercial institutions, they will tell you because we cannot be part of the third part. And the money is going there, going to the scam. You want to tell us that no, it's creation of awareness and things like that. Don't tell us those things, my friend. If the client comes to you now and say, no, there's a scam, I'm suspecting a scam in my account, can you stop it? You don't tell us that you cannot dissolve that contract because the third part is not there. Well, why are you going to get the third part? Don't tell us those things, man. Oh, my God. Are you getting me? So where's the man that is representing the commercial institution there?
He's here.
Can he answer that question when I'm listening here now?
Yes, thank you. He'll answer that shortly.
Thank you so much, HD. Any disputes that these a client has to be unfortunately addressed through the proper channels, which is our branch or our lines. Unfortunately, I cannot advise on the gentleman's dispute or what he's saying. However, what I can advise is that a legal binding contract is one that you put your name on it. So we should also be very, very, very vigilant as individuals. As if you unknowingly went to party A to sign off something, and now party A is sticking to the agreement that you and party A signed. You need to be held accountable to that agreement that you made. But any disputes that has to happen, there are right channels for one to go through. And that can be addressed privately with all mitigating factors on that one.
100%.
Yes.
And okay, so getting back into the car, into the financial inclusion car. It's reported that over 60% of sub-Saharan African adults now have access to digital financial services. I know that in Namibia specifically now, we don't have really any form of cybersecurity legislation in place yet. So I wanted to know, as a cybersecurity expert, could you explain why a cybersecurity legislation would benefit the economy, and then obviously that would aid the financial inclusion?
I would believe that a legislation sets up the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It set up the standard operating mechanism behind the industry, and it also sets up accountability.
Yeah.
So if that is put in place in a country like Namibia, investors will be more likely to come, as there is infrastructure that will protect their investment. And they feel more secured to come to a country where less of a cyber threat to the world. So those
legislations.
It's the English will be yes.
You were stuck on the registration.
I know. So the Ministry of Information is busy with that. They are busy working on that. Even at the Standard Bank cyber summit, they mentioned that. So it's very important that that is done and put in place. And we need every sector, every stakeholder, government, private, even we as individuals to take part, because if we can put up the ground rules, it can also put us a security cover and also what to do if this happens, who's to be held accountable, how did we allow this to happen, what mechanism do we have. So these are very important policies that will protect the country, not only inwards, but outwards. With our oil discovery, Namibia has been on the map for the past 3 years. And we can only attract and keep attracting good investors if they feel that their investment is secured. So it's very important that we as a nation, from private to public to schools, that we play a role in this. And I know government does have an open door on that. And there'll be more summit like that coming up, because I believe in the past 4 years, Namibia, in terms of cyber, we have shot up. In the past two, we more than doubled.
When you say shot up, in terms of what?
In terms of attacks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In the late 2010s, we never heard of institutions information.
Not even in 2020. During
those
COVID.
Those were movies. And we are seeing it on multiple platforms, on multiple institutions. So it's only going to keep coming more. Coming our side, and, it's a dangerous world out there, guys, we need to be very careful with our digital footprint.
Exactly,
very very careful.
Now, Dwight, I know this is a topic you speak about a lot. So, I have a question I have for you actually is, so when this cyber legislation eventually comes in place, who knows how long this will take?
It was supposed to be here last year as well.
Last year already. I was going to say, I feel like they've been talking about it for a few years.
Yeah.
But either way, so when it does come in place, we don't have to mention specific entities now, but when whether it's a financial institution, state-owned entity does become a victim to a cyber attack, does that mean that you didn't follow the, essentially the laws in place when it comes to cybersecurity, because your system ended up being, you know, being compromised, meaning that you didn't follow what the legislation said in terms of how secure your system has to be. Is that how it works, or how it would work?
It's okay. The question you probably would be asking is, like, for example, is like a car roadworthy in Namibia?
Basically, perfect analogy. Perfect analogy.
So when you look at the roadworthiness of a car, mm-hmm. who is the entity that literally says yes? We're now talking about a secondhand car and a new car. That would be like the police that show up. Yeah, the police, you go there to your police station and they say yes. When it comes to cybersecurity, guys, I've tried wrapping my head around, you know, the various coding languages that exist, and mm-hmm. each one of them are literally just one built upon the other one mm-hmm. in terms of how computers talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
At the heart of everything, what I've seen is in the draft bill that was presented in 2023.
Yeah.
I went to NamPower Convention Center here around the corner because that MICT had gone with the drafters
mm-hmm.
across the country, and Vintec was the first stop. And everything started there from a rights perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say rights perspective, that means the way we are sitting here, how we are protected by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Constitution must now also protect you in a digital space. Remember, you are not an avatar. So what is an avatar? Remember when the avatar situation came up about Meta, ne?
Yeah.
Meta and its metaverse, right?
Yeah.
So you are now trying to get a digital you. You construct a digital you in a digital space. But where's the first time you saw a digital you? You had to play role-playing games.
Mm.
Now, that's just the argument I position.
The Sim.
Yeah, The Sims. Exact. Well, I don't know why people love The Sims. I know what you guys did. Yeah. Those guys that love The Sims, I know the things that you guys did. I just didn't understand the game. But I liked Age of Empires a lot more because you had base building and all that.
Yeah.
Wii Sports, guys. Wii Sports.
You were Wii Sports?
Wii Sports.
But even then, you had an avatar.
You. You have one, yeah.
The scenario there was, that was through entertainment. So through entertainment, that was creative works. You could put it one side.
Mm-hmm.
So people would go like, ah, you know what? That's computer gaming or games in the same. The scenario when what Theo explained to us just now in the world of cybersecurity
mm-hmm.
is when it comes to your money. The mm. real thing that makes the economy move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to your money, what do you use? So you use social media sites a lot. You mm-hmm. use apps on a phone a lot. You mm-hmm. use,
your card e-commerce.
Your e-commerce. Yes. You mm-hmm. do e-commerce shopping. Mm-hmm. A lot of men and women that Alibaba. Love, exactly. They love buying things from Takealot from South Africa, Alibaba, AliExpress from China and so forth.
Amazon,
mm. even because Amazon South Africa.
Yeah.
But I heard, you place the order with Amazon South Africa and the thing comes out of America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, which also makes it a bit weird because now Namra will ask you, so are you paying 16.5 here or are you paying the new adjusted tariff that Trump decided to post on you?
Yeah.
So now you sit with those anomalies, mm-hmm. those phenomena. Mm-hmm. Now the question then comes in, HD has Dwight has a avatar, let's say, in a metaverse, and he can use real money.
Mm-hmm.
Now he buys something that he can try and import to himself in Namibia, Windhoek, through this digital platform. But real commerce is used. Your real bank account is linked to another real bank account.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a crypto thing. I know I think you know about that crypto space, ne? Yeah. It's a, cryptocurrency. I keep forgetting its name. Crypto land or something is its name. It's a weird thing.
You can basically use crypto now to buy things online.
But yeah.
The thing about crypto is it's linked to your bank
account. To a bank account.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's always a linkage to your bank account.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what cybersecurity tries to extend to. First, they give you the rights, which your constitution gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tries to say, hey, listen, now if you identify the people, you can prosecute them in a court.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just go now today to Namibian court, let's say you discovered I hacked you, I used, you know, my own basic like amateur hacking skills, I hack somehow your PC and I see that you left your banking details on a notepad document,
mm-hmm.
I use that, I log into everything, I get your money. Obviously, like Theo explained right now, the bank won't be able to help you because you were the weak point.
Yeah.
From that scenario, now you go to the police, open up a case. Police said, okay, we have to scratch our heads and find out how we're going to catch this person. We know where Dwight stays.
Mm-hmm.
They catch me. The judge will tell the police straight up, I can't prosecute this guy because there is no cybersecurity legislation.
Mm.
So in essence, it's technically, it builds from a rights-based perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, very, very interesting. I was just curious about that as we were speaking.
There's a caveat.
Yeah.
What, unfortunately, I have to mention this, ne?
Mm-hmm.
What, the banks run on separately is the Financial Transactions Act. That specifically is the singular most thing that protects.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one that quickly, you know, mm-hmm. I think in 2023, yeah. 2022,
mm-hmm.
because it has to protect the money and the banks and the ecosystem, the digital ecosystems that they set up.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Now, I did see the line flashing earlier. If you'd like to call back, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401, and that's 0832-888-401. Now, I think I'm sure you're aware of this global policy forum taking place next week in Swakopmund that Namibia is hosting for the first time, of which FNB is a huge partner, a huge stakeholder. From a cybersecurity perspective, what are some of the conversations that you'd like to see or hear take place at this global policy forum?
We need to have cross-border collaborations with our neighbors, especially in SADC or mm-hmm. in SACU.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we also need to take into as big as we can is that we are linked to South Africa in every way possible. We are South Africa's little brother
mm-hmm.
in terms of economy, in terms of our repo rates, in mm-hmm. terms of our currency.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to collaborate with all these countries for us to figure a way to mitigate what's already here and block and plug the leakage.
Yeah.
Because the more attacks we get, the more exposed we become. And you mentioned, the question that you mentioned to him, that also with cybersecurity, these guys, it's an ongoing advancement.
Mm-hmm.
So what they attacked you with today will not be the same tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using AI. So it learns. Yeah. And they saw that there's a weak point here. You block it. They go on to the next. So it's an ongoing test, try, test. So the first thing we need to do is we need to have cross-border cooperation. We need to have a information policy in terms of all our institutions from government.
Mm.
It's from at the schools,
mm-hmm.
at the hospitals,
mm-hmm.
at church. We must educate our people. Because the more we are not educating, the more they'll be exposed to something that they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, at the end of the day, it will become a financial loss on them,
which is
very hard. And also that a lot of people think that it's a small thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I always mention, if your country is not secured, investors will not come. And investors will not come, it's going to be a hard, hard economic growth up from there. So
yeah.
You must always protect your economy, especially the financial sector, because it shows the strength in the mm-hmm. global economy, mm-hmm. global market.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, so those are the two things I want us to do as a country. And the education policy should not be just limited to private. It should be everywhere. It should be in school. It should be in the newspapers. It should mm-hmm. be on NBC. NBC must run campaigns
mm-hmm.
on the television.
You have to add us as well.
Yeah, Eagle. Everybody must come.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like right now, we are in our trade fairs and shows season from mm-hmm. August. We have the Ongwediva Trade Fair and Downward. The Showgrounds is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We should have like screens where people will. So we must educate.
Yeah.
Education. Fraud can only be stopped if you stop the end user.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they will go to the end user because it's easier to try and attack
the whole institution. Yeah.
Institution will have worldwide systems, onion layer systems.
Mm-hmm.
You get through the first layer, there's 20 more.
Yeah.
It's not worth the effort.
And even then, if you get to the first one, there will be alarms that will be set off.
Yeah.
And you cannot use that again.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to go to the end user on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
convince him that I can turn their 5,000 into 25,000 in 2 days. And so it's a reality that is there. And I was in the northern part for a week, and I was speaking to one of my people, and they said, when you receive the call, it's like your mind goes blank.
Yeah.
Like you only realize after.
Mm.
And I advise him that when the call come,
and they don't recognize the number.
Yes. Hang up. As soon as you just say banking, you rather hang up and call the bank.
Yeah.
Rather go to the bank, but rather hang up.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, yeah, it can be stopped.
And in many cases, they don't have to say yes to everything. They can say no. Many people forget that it's a yes and no question sometimes.
Yes.
If you don't know about the immediate, what you call it, threat to your finances,
mm-hmm.
just say, I'll call you back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can forget about the person. But yeah, Theo is right. Sometimes just hang up.
Hang up.
Yeah. 100%. If you didn't say anything weird on your SMSs,
mm-hmm.
just hang up.
And mm-hmm. the new system whereby the crime tell our telecommunication companies to register the numbers. That was a good step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a call from somebody or a number that's trying to scam you, you can report it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk with our stakeholders at MTC.
Yeah.
The numbers are being blocked. They are being handed over to the police financial crime team. So
mm-hmm.
there are works being done, but we need our especially our clients, tell us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
How it happened, it will be easier for us to see what went wrong.
Yeah, because I think, Theo, there you just answered one of the first questions that one of the callers had at the start.
Yeah.
You know, the one about the scams, what that takes place.
Yes. And that was actually answered this morning when we had the MTC spokesperson on with David. He said that, like, look, yes, we asked you guys to, you know, register your SIM cards, give us your identifications, but me, Hende, I can't just go to MTC and say, block this number that I got. Because A, B, and C. Yes. That order has to come from the police.
Yes.
Because now it becomes a legal thing.
Yes.
Because who's to say that, you know, I'm mad at my ex-girlfriend or whatever I say.
Or it might have been like a little kid doing prank calls and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes.
So they can't just take every request from every citizen to say, oh, this person did A, B, and C, block this number, put this person in jail, et cetera, et cetera. There's procedures, as Theo alluded to.
What we always do is once we notice that our client has fallen victim to any of these, we call the client and our calls are recorded. And we tell them, if you're not comfortable saying it on the phone, you can go to the branch, but you need to explain what transpired, what called you,
mm-hmm.
when did they call you? Because when we go into our investigation, We will see what happened.
Yeah.
It will give us a picture of what happened.
Yeah.
And then I have this, and then I can say, okay, external stakeholders, guys, this number has been terrorizing our people.
Mm-hmm.
Please block it. And then the police, here are the necessary additional information you need.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look for these people. So, and like he said, it's very, very hard. There's no legislation in place to prosecute these people, but we are getting there.
Yeah.
So we, as a end users, we can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't give anything. Do not click on links.
Weird things.
Yes, I think it was last month when NBC also the Minister of Information said another. This is fake.
Yeah, yeah.
They were using the president. Those things. So
yeah,
common sense also comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not, there's a slogan in Oshuambo when I was growing up on the radio about, I think, they were saying about the explosions in the war.
Mm.
You know, shikwata, shikwata, meaning in English, don't touch it, report it.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. Wasn't it the?
I think the.
Wasn't it war, the landmine?
Yeah, the landmine,
campaign. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that from the '90s.
Yes.
Theo, how do you remember something so old? But so, yeah, there is ordnance, like you said. Yeah.
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 So it's this same. I will use the same login.
Mm-hmm.
Do not touch it, report it, or do not listen, hang up, report it.
Exactly.
So if you report it, then it's fine. And most of the fintech technologies that the bank says have add-in features.
Yeah.
For example, the FNB app has a security center in it, meaning that if you feel victim now and you feel like you maybe have compromised your information and you are unable to get a hold of the bank, it's late. You just go into your app, you go to security center, block my profile. It will block your accounts. No money will leave the account.
Okay, now, but Theo, what now happens if it's the phone that gets stolen?
If the phone that gets stolen, you call the bank.
Then they just block
it. We just block.
Okay. Because the number, at least the bank has the number.
We have so for example, if you call the bank now,
yeah,
I have compromised my information. The first thing we're going to do is secure your account.
Yeah.
We're going to secure the account to stop anything from leaving. Then we're going to trace. We're going to look what happened, where did the funds go, and then put blockage in all of them. So there is a process. That's why we're telling our clients, please be as specific as possible, because these informations are key. Because we are making notes to pass it down to our external
stakeholders.
There are other methods. You can, your card. I tell a lot of people, your card is a Visa card. You have so many limits. You know, you do not use e-commerce. Put the limits on zero. You have three cards. You don't use them all the time. Temporary block it. The app works for free.
Yeah.
With on the MDC network. So there are features. It's just that we must educate. Education is very important. And we need to go out. We need to go out to every region, to every village, to every school, from Batani to Zambezi.
Yeah.
As a nation, we need to have a information spreading campaign.
100%. And we have about 8-9 minutes left in the program, so if you'd still like to chime in, the number in the studio is 083-288-4401, and that's 083-288-4401. If you have any questions for myself, Dwight, or our special guest for the evening, Theo, on all things cybersecurity and financial inclusion. Now, Theo, about maybe 2-3 episodes ago, we had the head of SME banking at FNB Namibia on the program. And we spoke to him about, obviously, you know, the role that SMEs play in financial inclusion. And one of the things that he said, Dwight, I think, knows what I'm about to ask, is about the connection between, you know, the relationship between digitalization and financial inclusion. And what Nesta had to say was that financial inclusion has to happen first before, you know, digitalization can fully take place. Whereas I'm kind of on the fence. I see both sides where I'm like, digitalization is needed to achieve financial inclusion. But Nesta said, no, first, basically you need access to the capital.
Before, the money. Yeah, to the money.
Before, you know, we can make use of all these wonderful digital tools.
That means the end user needs the money to buy the smartphone, to have the extra layers of protection, or the extra layers of what you call it, sending e-wallets and
Cell
phone banking and stuff like that.
So I'd like to hear your take on this, especially with you, you know, with your cybersecurity background. Which do you think? This is kind of my new did the chicken come first or the egg come first kind of situation.
For me, I would say it's hand in hand. Reason why is that with fintech, there is levels to fintech. There is advanced, medium, low, and so forth. So we cannot first get the capital per se and then educate them. I believe that we must do it at the same time, so that when the capital arrives, they have knowledge on how to use it and to secure it. For example, yes, like Dwight said, that the person needs to buy the smartphone, but if he cannot buy the smartphone at that time, it's fine. He can use cell phone banking, which is also another product of fintech. So I would say that it goes hand in hand. It should be done at the same time, depending on what we are looking at. Because if we get the funds, but we do not educate our people on how to protect it, how to invest it, how to make it work for themselves, they will lose it. So by the time we are educating them on how to keep it, our guys on the internet has already cleaned out their account. So I would say that depending on the level in which we are educating our clients and where we are, it goes hand in hand. Our client might not be able to afford a smartphone, but he does have a telecommunication mobile device. I think everybody in the country has one.
At least has one.
And the ease that the bank or the financial inclusion offers for everybody in each sector.
Yeah.
To the point where if you believe that you don't have a phone, you can use the ATM to transact.
Exactly.
You can go send an e-wallet at the ATM. You can go send funds at the ATM, you can deposit at the ATM. So financial
inclusion, use Cash Plus.
Cash Plus. So financial inclusion covers every level. We don't necessarily just look at our end users that are using their computers. We are looking at Tate Joe in Katima, where there's no branch. There's a Cash Plus agent. We have enabled him. Mesaima has a Katosha. We have cell phone banking. She can buy credit. She can send money to her child. So it covers the whole spectrum. So it goes hand in hand. When we get the funds, when we're trying to get these funds, we're also educating you on how to protect these funds and how to use it safely, calmly, in a controlled environment. So for me, it goes both in hand.
And I'm glad you said that, because, you know, when we hear fintech, we're often thinking of, you know, iPhone 16, iPad, whatever, but even Katoshi also technically has technology. Fintech services. Yes. It's a technology.
Isn't it technically like the most secure because of the USSD?
Yes.
It's the most secure signal
yeah.
that you can have.
Yes. So fintech comes in levels. Yeah. So, but I see that the world is heading into the digitalization, which is good and well because we are moving there.
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes from, because that is where we came from. FinTech came from that USD. And it gradually went up. You know, we are now at Apple Pay and what. So it is going up. So, but that level below there is still considered FinTech.
Mm-hmm.
So it is growing at a very rapid stage.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about it is it's inclusive of everyone everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a phone, there's an ATM.
Yeah.
There's no ATM, there's a Cash Plus agent.
Mm-hmm.
So there are mechanisms and systems and a robust system put in place to cater for everyone. That is where financial inclusion comes. And I think that is what FNB has been doing. We looked at, especially the Cash Plus initiative.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that we cannot always be in each town.
Yeah.
Due to the distance, due to logistic and so forth, infrastructure.
Yeah.
But we can still bring banking closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the other alternatives that we are looking at. So
And the nice thing is, for example, like with the Cash Plus agent structure, is that it can be any business.
Yeah. Any business.
So because in that scenario, the bank doesn't, you know, you don't have to go open up another branch, hire more people.
Yeah.
Even though many people in a developmental context would say, we need more jobs, but you also have to be realistic.
You need to look at the cost.
Yeah, you also have to look at the cost mechanism. Yeah.
Now, I used Cash Plus for the first time today, actually, because there was a long line at the ATM, and then I looked behind me, the shop happened to be a Cash Plus agent, so I was like, let me try this thing I've been speaking about on radio for the past 2 weeks, and it was simple. So I think I've become a proponent of Cash Plus now.
One of the most, I would give a hand to my institution. We have removed debit card swiping charges,
mm-hmm.
but there's a nice product that all the bank offers, but most people don't make use of it. Cashback.
Mm.
What is cashback?
Cashback means that I go in a shop, I buy a cold drink. I need $1,000 to take somewhere.
Mm.
I want cashback of $1,000.
Meaning, the overpay. Yeah. You overpay plus the cool drink you have.
Yes.
I've seen that a few times. It makes the cashier looks nervous. You know that, Theo?
Yeah, it does. But it's secured.
Yeah.
And in terms of the fees.
Yeah. It's something between the two businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fee to the client is lower compared to the ATM. Mm.
Yeah. So that's something different to Cash Plus.
Yes. So Cash Plus is
it's similar, but it's different to Cash Plus.
Okay.
With Cash Plus, what happened is that we are enabling a business to be part of the banking sector, meaning that you can go and withdraw,
mm-hmm.
you can go and send money via that business.
Yeah.
Usually, you can only do that on the ATM,
mm-hmm.
the branch, mm-hmm. or the digital platform, or cell phone banking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a third party that has been enabled for you to send money to any FNB account. While cashback, so for example, Friday we know it's going to be month end,
mm-hmm.
and our people are going to be paid, they're going to be in the queue.
Excited.
HD, you need to go back to work.
Yeah.
But you need
money. That's what happened to me too.
Yes.
So, last of July.
Most of the shops offer it. You go in, you have cashback, yes. So I want a kudri and $1,000. You swipe the $1,010, you get your money cash, you leave fast, safe, and secure. So
simple.
Yeah. So those are one of or the additional services that we are offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always go back to, if we can educate our people, educate them.
Yeah.
We will make the country safer in terms of financial crime.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, and make sure that your bank, because not all of us have the same bank.
Yeah.
Make sure it's the cashback scenario.
Yeah. All the banks should have. Because that product is really helpful. Even I use that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's any shop, anywhere. Mm. Sometimes it's a service station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the charges are few.
Minimum.
To the ATM.
100%.
So I would encourage our clients, guys, call the bank. Bother the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions if you do not understand. Educate yourself. If you feel something is wrong, if you feel that no, that call was suspicious, no, my card, I couldn't find it for an hour, call the bank. We are more than happy to assist you. No inquiry is silly. We will listen, we will investigate, and we'll give you peace of mind. Because our client is our biggest assets.
Yeah.
And overall, if the financial sector is secured, the country's investment will go. A bond just optioned a few bonds for, I think, $3 billion. They got really good investors.
That wasn't a feud. That wasn't a few, Theo. I read those reports. That wasn't a few.
A few. So a country's financial standing plays a very big role, and it goes in hand with its development and investment attraction. Because if you do not have that, no investor will be secured to come and invest in Namibia.
Yeah. Now, okay, Theo, we've run out of time, but please give us that number that people can call in case of any emergency suspicions or any questions that they have.
So the number that you can call FMBE if you have any issues, 081-061.
I was going to say, did it become a cell phone now?
There are two, but let me give you the one that I would always recommend to the client. So it's
061-299-2222.
But FMBE and MTC came to a partnership whereby the clients can call on a toll-free number.
Okay.
But it's a cell phone number.
Okay.
So the clients must be very vigilant to make sure that they know the number so that they don't mistake it when other people are trying to attend things.
Yeah.
So this number is 081
953-6262. 953-6262.
So this number, you can call it even if you don't have credit. It's it will go through. And we are open from 7 to 10 weekdays and 8 to 10 weekends and public holidays. So we are always, we also have after-hour services. So even if you call in the evening, we should be able to assist you. But I would just emphasize on this. Let's keep our information secured. If you do not understand what's happening, if something is happening, report it. Do not engage. Hang up the call. Do not click on links. Remember that no financial institution will try to recruit you on social media. No financial institution will be calling you with cell phone numbers with promises that don't seem real. So be on your toes because these guys are busy. And please, on Facebook, do not click on links. On links.
Facebook, WhatsApp, Telegram,
Instagram.
Instagram. X, wherever.
And also, what we have also picked up is that your WhatsApp can be taken over. So be very careful.
Can it, actually?
It can be.
And your Telegram.
And Telegram.
No, Telegram I've seen. Telegram will be like,
I
fell victim to it.
And it comes through from a friend. A friend.
Which is it will say like your mom created a Telegram account.
And then you go look at the number. And then you realize the person doesn't have a Telegram account. Or the person has a totally different Telegram account.
And you see it's like a foreign number or something.
So they sent me a link. They said, your pictures. And he gave them a friend. I clicked on it. Yeah, I
did the same scam. And then I just went like, what pictures?
And then a message, because the good thing is I have 2FA authentication on everything. Then I just saw who is trying to access from California. I'm like, whoa.
So you went that far?
I went that far.
What it tried to do was literally, I would see some weird movement, and then I remembered, you know, the basic thing of how you try to sort of like protect your phone.
Yeah.
Switch off the phone or restart the phone again. And then it just does that restarting, optimizing the app, and then it goes from there. That's what I did. I'm glad I deleted Telegram because I didn't realize it had so much loopholes.
It does. So all your applications, WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, if you go into your security center, there's 2FA authentication. Put that on. Put it on. And the good thing about Meta, all our main apps are one. Your Facebook, your WhatsApp, your Instagram, they are one. So it will have that. So just have that for peace of mind. And also, guys, change your password regularly. If you have a password.
What do you mean if?
Do not use.
Where do you have a password?
Everywhere.
On your phone. Where do you have a password on your phone?
Look. If I lock my phone now, it's asking for a password.
Yeah. No, but that's a code.
Yeah, but okay, on my, like, I see some people have, you know, they lock their WhatsApp, but I don't think that's for security reasons. I think they're just doing suspicious activities.
Yeah, obviously. You know, that's between,
that is for security.
That's between them and their girlfriends or boyfriends, obviously.
But anyways, we run out of time. Theo, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for all the great insights that you gave us as usual. And, this has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access, probably brought to you by FNB Namibia, and we will cross over to the Ondangwa studio right after this.
This has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on EOFM. Financially Included is brought to you by FNB Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.